Listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
It is the end of another week. Plenty of storylines. We'll recap, of course, as we did a little bit yesterday, the, I guess, observations and thoughts as the Saints are ready to go into the offseason. I'm excited. I was practically giddy yesterday getting into it. NBA draft is next week. Yes, Pel's got no first-round draft pick, but we'll still touch a little bit on that, get the very latest. And I don't know, maybe Jay Hardgrave will get us his take as to where he thinks LeBron is going. And look, this week started with Mike Greenberg and others saying that the Pelicans were probably a very good destination for them. I don't know if it'll happen. Probably not. Anyway, we'll get into all of that and more, plus continue to talk about yesterday's announcement of Pierre Thomas and Lance Moore being inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame. We'll continue to remember them and some of the plays that stood out to you in their mind and how do you remember them. We had some fun yesterday as well with what kind of gum would the Falcons be? And that is based off of yesterday. We played Dan Quinn, the head coach. He was mic'd up. And apparently the Wrigley plant is next door to the Falcons practice facility. And he said this place smells like gum quite often. So we had a little fun with that. And speaking of fun, Jay Hardgrave will have fun by welcoming everyone to the weekend properly.
It's
oh, we got something different?
Friday.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What?
Let's say we got something different?
There we go. Soothing sounds of Rebecca Black. Letting you know that you've made it to the weekend. Congratulations. Enjoy it. It's a Father's Day weekend.
It is.
So looking forward to that. We can have some fun with that. So you can tweet us or call us and tell us a story about your dad. Why you are going to have a nice Father's Day weekend here. Like a story that goes into it. And the reason I brought that up is because, you know, I purposely, and I don't know if you remember, obviously you know that whole process of me from telling you, I think we are gonna, you know, have one, and then
yes,
two, we are, and then we're not, and then we didn't. That happened three times, and
right,
then finally we were, and then it happened.
It was a struggle.
It was, but you know what I did on purpose, right? We landed. We're coming back from the Tulane Vandy game the day before because I call women's basketball. I come back. I'm texting my wife at 6:30. We had a 6 o'clock flight, and I'm like, hey, two more days. We're gonna set to have a set delivery on Thursday. And I text, I'm all excited, can't wait. I land, turn the phone off of airplane mode, and it's my wife. I think we're having a baby. I'm on my way to pick you up.
And can't wait.
And there it is. And I was like, all right, that's great. But we had to stop because I live right by the airport. So it's on the way to the hospital anyway. Like, we have to pass the house to get to the airport. I mean, to the hospital. I had to stop and get my cup shirt on.
You are kidding.
I had to get my Cubs shirt on, my Cubs cap, and yes, his little Cubs onesie. That's what he fell asleep in the first day that he was ever born. But my point that I'm trying to bring up here is on this Father's Day weekend, we can have some fun. Jordan, if you want to tweet this as well, on this Father's Day weekend, you know, give us a story or tell us how your dad or you as a dad tie in sports to something, to some sort of memory that you remember, you know. And I mean, obviously with my dad, I've talked about this before. He went to LSU, stayed in the, you know, in the stadium when it was a dorm and all that. I clearly remember some of the greatest times and memories was just Dad and I on Saturdays when I was a kid. And we had a tradition, right? We'd go to the Union. This is well before, Jordan, I don't even know what it looks like now. Obviously a lot different, but, you know, you had the Union and you had the sports store, the bookstore, and you could go get like your gifts and stuff right there at the bottom, right? So you would go there, he'd show me the bowling alley and all this other stuff. We'd get lunch. I'd always get something. It was either a football or a shirt or something on game day. And then we would go next to the PMAC where it was the old football practice field, right? Where's the track field now. And we'd kick field goals. Like, I would just, like, we would throw the football, I'd run routes, and this is obviously well before LSU was the way it is now.
Yes, totally different.
We could go, like, up until about 30 minutes before kickoff, and we could walk right on in, you know. We'd park right there in the parking lot where the union is. It's not like now you need stickers and permits, and it's $50 and all that. It wasn't like that. I mean, you would show up about an hour or two before the game. We had lunch. We'd walk around campus, and, I mean, I remember that vividly. I can smell it. I recall it. You know, from the earthquake game to the drenching downpour against the Miami Hurricanes. I mean, I was there for a lot of those things. I just remember that when it was empty, we sat in the end zone, or when it was full. But, I mean, like, I get emotional when I think about it because that was Dad and me. I mean, that's like, I can remember it. I can recall it like anything. And to the point where I would talk about during the pregnancy and even now, and we went while Anna was pregnant to Wrigley Field. And I said, you know, hey, I can't wait to have that picture one day where you walk up the ramp, right, when you walk in to home plate, and I want the picture from the back of me holding his hand, staring out the center field. Like, I'm getting choked up just thinking about it. But
yeah.
Sports does tie in to a lot of times that we probably remember being with your dad and stuff. Like, Dad's probably responsible for a lot of people listening right now being a fan for a certain sport or school, right? I mean, I didn't know the difference between LSU, Michigan, or anything else. I grew up following LSU because Dad did. I mean, we listened to the games. We listened to Jim Harbaugh. We listened to all of that.
You took a lot of your dad's opinions, and they became yours. Growing up, I played the position of quarterback, and I had to ask my dad about Johnny Unitas and Otto Graham, and all I could judge those guys off of is what my dad said of, this guy was good because he did this. This guy was good because he was able to do that.
Right.
And you trusted your dad, so your dad's opinion became your opinion, because I vaguely remember Johnny Unitas playing. Right. I mean, I was a kid. I remember Johnny Unitas was a quarterback of the Colts, but to sit there and tell you I remember what he did on the field and he was a great quarterback because he did this, I'm going by my dad's opinion.
Yeah.
I think a lot of kids can relate to that. You know, this is baseball season now. This is all we got. We got it, Saints OTAs. Probably most people's, you know, remembering their dad was going to a baseball game or you know, something along those lines.
Absolutely. And again, you know, for me, obviously this is what I do, and it's probably because I just always grew up playing sports. And I know this now. I tease Jordan all the time. I bless him, you know, with all the enthusiasm. He texts me 1,500 times a day. Hey, let's do this, plan this. He's got great ideas. And I'm literally in the middle of trying to make sure my kid doesn't dive bomb into the floor. He's headbutting. I mean, it's like, I understand, like, the time consumption that it comes with it. And again, I can just recall Dad pulls up and I grab his belt loop and I tug at him and I have a ball in my hand. You know, before he even walks inside, we're throwing the football out by Lafreniere Park, where one of our first places that we lived in, and we're throwing. Again, I can specifically recall so many moments. Every game I played at the playground, Dad was there.
Yeah.
You know, always there, whether I struck out, which wasn't very often, Jordan, I was really good. But, or I did well. I mean, he was always there. We played basketball in the yard. You know, we threw the football. We hit tennis. You know, we would play. And it's like, and then you hit that moment where, like, you know, it's sad. The day where you can kind of beat your dad, you know, in certain things. And it's like, you almost like, don't want to, you know,
but
that's what I'm getting at is, Dad and I have been like best buddies. Like, we grew up playing sports, listening to sports, going to sporting events. That's why it was a very special day, that the first day I was the Saints sideline reporter. I remember clearly, because again, none of the Saints games were televised, being in the garage, Dad's doing garage things, you know, and listening to Jim Henderson call the Saints lose another game. And it was weird when Jim tossed it to me, because, you know, I remember it and tied it into my dad. So 800-998-1003 or at ESPN Radio NOLA. I'd love to hear stories like that. You know, how did Dad help you become a sports fan? Or are you a sports fan because of Dad? Or now, if you are a dad, are you doing something with your son that's special to you, unique? I mean, there's a lot of people that like to go to certain games or, you know, game day. It's father and son. I don't know. I'd love to hear some of those stories,
Dad. I think a lot of people learn to appreciate their father a lot more as they get older and have a kid. When you were a kid, you couldn't wait for Dad to get home so he could throw the football with you. Can't throw a football by yourself.
No.
You can't throw a baseball by yourself. Yes, you can go out and shoot a basketball by yourself. But when Dad comes home, Dad, let's play. Let's do this. Dad just worked a 40, 50-hour work week,
yeah.
And you never understood that until now you're working the 40, 50-hour work week. And then when it's like, oh, you know, you want to throw football, I'm exhausted.
Absolutely.
You know, and I mean, guys appreciate it when they see what dad did when they're starting to be the dad.
8:15, 8:30 is early dinner. I mean, it just is because, you know, he bathes at 7, 7:30. We feed him dinner at 6:30. He's very routine. I like it. But, yeah, I mean, it's so cool to now start seeing him, like, he's kicking the soccer ball, he's doing that, you know, I've sent y'all videos and shit. I mean, it's like, now I'm getting to see that, and it's just fun. So I do have a ton of memories that tie dad and sports together, and now I'm kind of starting to do that with my kid.
Yep.
So I'd love to hear that on this Father's Day, if you have anything like that. Jordan, do you have anything that you can recall that's something that you and dad did growing up?
Watching the Pels, Hornets, and also playing hoops out in the backyard. And, you know, he beat me every time, but then a few years started kicking, and then I started whipping his butt. So,
see, you can't say whipping his butt. You just you got him that day.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about. I don't know. It almost hurts.
Jordan, did your dad ever take you for a snowball?
Yeah, he took me for snowballs.
That's what dad has to do.
That's good.
He has to earn the snowball with me. Tom wants to chime in, 800-998-1003. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Just wanted to chime in and say, yeah, my dad always had me out playing basketball, baseball. Now, I grew up in a land where we had hockey, so we played ice hockey.
Nice.
Hockey. Even now, I have a one-year-old son, and this year we took a trip. He won't remember, but we took a trip to the Tampa Bay Lightning. That way I could just try to get him liking hockey down here in this land of non-ice.
See, I love that, though. But for you, it's probably not only special, but you can remember those days that you played with dad and you go out there to practices and doing that. I mean, vividly, right? I mean, did it probably make you be a sports fan?
Without a doubt. If my dad didn't spend so much time with me doing all the coaching me, playing sports with me, and taking me to the Stanley Cup and taking me to playoffs. Games and whatnot. I'm a high school basketball coach because
No kidding.
Wait, back up. You said you got a chance to see the Stanley Cup. You got to see a Stanley Cup game?
Yes, I did. I went to the Devils Avalanche. I think it was 2001.
Nice. Oh, nice. Man. The Avalanche had a streak going at that point, man. They were a hot team.
Oh no, you know what? It was earlier than that. It was in the 90s. So I don't want to have people tear me apart.
I hear you, man. That's awesome. Thanks for the memories, man. Appreciate you chiming in.
That's on my bucket list to get to a Stanley Cup final.
800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime in and be a part of it as well, and give us your take on it. Again, I'm telling you, I think especially for a lot of fans, it's something that's very unique and special. And again, it's so different from Mother's Day. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't know. I mean, believe me, moms do a ton, and it's a different bond, you know. And I mean that very warmingly because I see this now, like when Carver's teething or something like that. It's not dad. It's mom, you know, like he's not feeling well. But every other time, it's like it's dad to the point where, like early on, I mean, Anna was like upset, you know. She's like, "What's he always hugging on you for?" But it is so cool. But he roughhouses me, you know. He wrestles with me.
They know
and things. I know it's so cool to see that. But that's what I'm saying. It's like when it comes to sports, man. There's so many things that I can just go on and on and on that I call that. It's to me, that's why it's so special and important. I love seeing that as we tie it into now what we saw with the Saints. You know, Cam Jordan having another baby this week, and, you know, he's Instagramming the picture of him and his other boys kind of looking at the new baby and, you know, doing all that. So you always see that, you know, fathers kind of with their kids, but it's tied into sports.
It is. And even
Drew Brees talks about it all the time, right? His kids have jerseys of everyone other but him.
But you think about just the day, like Mother's Day, there's always a dinner somewhere along the lines. Ask your dad what he wants for Father's Day.
Right.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
He wants to watch the golf tournament. He wants to have crawfish or pizza or something and watch games. That's it.
Right.
Moms, they want a dinner. They want to go out to a restaurant. They want to have a day. Guys, just leave me alone. Let me go to my man cave.
Yeah, no doubt. 800-998-1003 and at ESPN Radio. And I'd love to hear some stories on how maybe your father or you have sort of tied in sports to be a part of your life. Truck's chiming in over on the hotline, 800-998-1003. Truck, how are you?
I'm doing fine, guys. And when my dad did his retirement. We had just started the station in the mid-90s, and with our record label connections, I was able to get two tickets, three or four rows behind the Red Sox dugout. Ah. I brought him to Fenway Park.
Nice. Nice. Now we know why the Sox-Cubs rivalry exists at the station.
Believe you me, when we switched formats to Cajun music, mm-hmm. I lost my ticket connections. But mm-hmm. anyway, that was a memory I'll never forget. My dad in the middle of Call Yastrzemski and the rest of the world. We're a Red Sox world, so... It's unbelievable.
No, it is. And that's what I'm saying. It's special. And Truck, that's one of the things that I have on my bucket list that I absolutely want to do. I've talked to Anna about it, and it's something we're going to try to do in the next year or two. Dad and mom have been to Wrigley. I've been to Wrigley. Me and dad have not been to Wrigley. And I'm going to make sure that it's me, dad, and Carver to Wrigley. And I'm getting choked up even thinking about it.
Well, I'm getting choked up thinking about my barf list.
Yeah.
My barf list is to go to the new Yankee Stadium.
Mm.
I've been to the old Yankee Stadium, but I haven't been to the new Yankee Stadium. I do want to go and barf.
And the barf list.
I hate the Yankees, okay?
Yeah, well, you're a Sox fan.
Get the message. Okay, buddies. Y'all have a great weekend.
There you go. You too, man. Happy Father's Day to you. That's Truck Just Clear, our station owner, chiming in. 800-998-1003. Look, again, that's what I'm saying, though, but you have memories. Like, again, you saw me just now. I get choked up. Yeah. Just the thought of me walking into Wrigley, I don't care if they lose.
Yeah.
You know, just to have that picture in that moment. I hear you, but you know what I'm saying?
I can't wait to
sit them in the middle. Dad on one side and me and Carver in the middle. Not that I don't want to take mom or
right.
Anna.
It's a guy thing.
But
it's
something that I would want to do. So 800-998-1003. Love to get your stories on that. It's great to hear. I love that. Thank you for the phone calls already just in the opening segment. Chime in on social media as well at ESPN Radio.
You see what I'm talking about? Your memory is the Cubs.
Absolutely.
Trucks, Boston. It's baseball because it's something about
it is, right?
And dads and their sons.
Now, that said, I have heard stories before of people, especially like, being there at the Dome, you know, with long-time season ticket holders or Saints fans and people saying, my dad got to see the Saints win the Super Bowl. Yeah. I heard that a lot when the Saints won the Super Bowl. My dad got to see, you know, from the beginning, you know, they went to Tulane Stadium, saw mm-hmm. the first game, thought it was going to be great, wore a bag. I mean, to finally see that and – you know, because I remember seeing videos when the Cubs finally won.
Yeah.
Of like, older gentlemen.
Ooh,
you know,
must have been old film.
It was old film. Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about for them to actually see that. But, no, so I love it. Again, there's so many different stories. You got plenty of topics to get into. Brian and Ole used to chime in as well. We'll ask him if, there's something sports related that you and your kids kind of like to do as well. How do you tie in Father's Day weekend with sports? Is real easy. I think it's just memories. So many different memories for me. Absolutely my entire life and career I can owe to playing sports and being involved with that. So we'll touch on that. We'll recap Saints minicamp. We'll talk about the World Cup. We've had two games already. I'm just being honest with you. At 1 o'clock, I'm going to be in and out of paying attention. You got Portugal and Spain playing at 1 o'clock here at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, 132 Royal Street, where, as always, we are here on Friday. And always, our number one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King at 504-909-KING. Joey, you definitely want somebody from the King Firm. You probably don't want this kind of lawyer.
Ladies and gentlemen of the... of the jury.
You don't want that guy.
No, yeah. You see, when you go to the King Firm, the chances are you might have a little more seasoned attorney.
Yeah, I think you're going to get a little bit better representation.
Just a little bit better representation than that guy. Although I wouldn't have mind having Vinny. Right?
We just find ways of getting my cousin Vinny tied into this show.
It's a good thing. Sport Takeover is just underway. We got all the way to 3 o'clock, and Matt Moscone after further review. Guest hosted by Jacques Doucet. Head coach Les Miles is going to be on the show. among the many guests as well. So don't go anywhere, kind of celebrating Father's weekend, Father's Day weekend today as well. Charlie Ricks here with his daughter, having lunch at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. I'm gonna pull him in, talk a little golf. He's not happy about the U.S. Open either.
Turning red already.
Although there is a name that's on top of the leaderboard. So there you go. So we'll touch on all of that and more when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. It is round two of the U.S. Open. It is underway. Charlie Ricks, host of NOLA Golf Academy, joins us here at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen Tap. First off, happy Father's Day to
happy
you, Charlie.
Happy Father's Day to you, guys.
Exactly, weekend. Well, not Father's Day. Father's Day weekend. But, yeah, so your daughter's from out of town, right?
Daughter Chelsea. Dana is flying in later this afternoon and spent Father's Day watching golf and eating crawfish and drinking beer.
See, that was the plan, right? That was the plan. And then the U.S. Open happened. Because I was looking forward to maybe some of these bigger names, maybe Tiger Woods. We touched about it on Monday. The storyline from round one, I guess you can just sum it up with an emoji. And it's an upside down frown face or something maybe with tears. I mean, big names, double digit over pars.
If this was a boxing match, you would say Shinnecock won round one of this fight. Okay. It was payback. If you look at last year at Erin Hills, 16 under par. USGA said, there's no way we're going to have that again. Remember, Gus, 2 years ago, you know who won the U.S. Open?
2 years ago?
Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
At 4 under. There were only 4 players that were under par. That's your typical U.S. Open, where it is the toughest test in golf. It requires accuracy. It requires touch around the greens and just precision with the irons. And that's what we've known all the history of the U.S. Open to be. And last year, it was almost embarrassing for the USGA to have a tournament end at 16 under.
A major.
Typically in the U.S. Open, even par, if you can shoot even par, usually during the history of this golf tournament, there's been exceptions. I mean, Congressional and McIlroy won at 12 under, which set a new record. There are exceptions. But typically in a U.S. Open, even par, around even par, will have you on the first page of the leaderboard come Sunday. This is interesting. We only have, 3 players under par. There's been only 6 players today that are in red numbers.
Right.
Yesterday, Tiger Woods said something yesterday that really made me take notice. He said, there's only 6 holes on this golf course today. This is yesterday.
Right.
6 holes on this golf course where you could possibly make a birdie. Aren't there 18 holes on a golf
six
course?
6 of 18
he
to make a birdie?
He said there were 6, wow. 18. Now, and to possibly make a birdie, which means there were no birdies to be had yesterday. Now, they did soften it up a little bit today. Like the first hole, they put the pin today on the first
hole. For non-golfers, how do you soften
where
it
up? A lot of people made birdies today.
How do you soften the course up for non-golfers?
Pin placement. Yesterday was like you, Gus, trying to hit a shot on top of the Superdome and have it come to rest. What are the chances?
You described it as a turtle shell, right?
Yeah. Think of it as a turtle shell or an army helmet, and you're trying to land the ball on the top have it stick. What are the chances? Yesterday, listen, you can make a golf course like this one is designed with the turtle back greens and with the undulation as tough as you want it. That's what they did yesterday. And you do that by putting the pin placement
to
where there's no chance.
I got you.
And if you try to get close to the pin, they had all the cups yesterday on the side hill lies. Notice how yesterday a lot of the putts were breaking hard at the hole.
Right.
Well, that's what – and if you tried to get close and you hit the wrong side of a mound, that you would – basically you're off the green.
Is that golf?
It's tough golf. Is it fair? I don't like that setup for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think it backfired on the USGA yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It took some of the marquee players out of this golf tournament for Sunday. That's no fun. We like to see the top 10 players in the world compete coming down to the wire. However, just a few minutes ago, the cut line was moved from +6 to +7. that moved a lot of players in a possibility to make this cut. One of them is Phil Mickelson. He sits at plus +7 yet to tee it up. So he needs to get it at even par, 1 under, to make the cut. It brought Jordan Spieth a little closer. Now, Jason Day has his work cut out. Tiger Woods is out of this golf tournament at plus +10. He missed the cut by 3 shots. Rory McIlroy, he needs to find 3 or 4 under today to make the cut. Tough chance for that happening. So the other part that I don't like about this setup, yeah, losing the marquee players, but the other part is we have some amateurs that are playing this golf tournament that their life dream is to play in the U.S. Open. Right. One of them lives in Slidell, Louisiana, by the name of Jacob Bergeron, 19 years old.
We talked about that earlier in the week.
Sophomore at LSU this coming golf season. You know, he thought about this since he was wee high.
Right.
And then to go out there and have to play a golf course like that and shoot an 81. This kid has been shooting 64s and 65s in competition for the last year and a half. He earned his way into this U.S. Open. But to go out there and have to be confronted with those greens and those pin placements when you know already it was going to be tough, just on the nerves, that's the other part I don't like about it. Why not just have a birdie fest round one and let everybody give it their best where the golf course isn't making it tough?
He's 11 over par. He tees off at 120 Central Time.
Jacob Bergeron.
Yeah.
Now, Charlie, you were talking about the cut line. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Don't they set the cut line because they're looking for a specific number of players? By moving it back, are they opening it up knowing that they made a mistake?
Good question. No, what happened was years ago the cut line was everybody within 10 shots. The USGA got rid of that rule in 2012. Now it's top 60s and ties.
Okay.
So what happened was those bottom, right on the bubble, their scores went up and brought the plus +7 into play, the top 60.
We have a phone call question for you. Lee wants to ask Charlie something about this tournament. Lee, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Lee.
Hey, I'm sitting here. Hey, I'm good. I'm just sitting here watching, right, and I see Tiger go birdie. To get back to 10 over, and they're saying he's right on the cut line right now. But here's my thing. I know what you're saying about last year, and it's true. Everybody was tearing the course up last year. This year they made it nearly impossible. My question to you is, wouldn't it be a better tournament if they could make it harder but make it easier than today? Find somewhere in the middle. Give us a happy medium to where maybe not 13 or 14 under, but maybe 6 or 7 under, and make it more competitive where everybody has a shot on moving day to maybe make a run at it. Because right now what I'm looking at is it's too hard, man. It's just, I mean, you have guys that are professional golfers, they're humbled. They're out there. I mean, Rory McIlroy, humbled. I mean, you know, Tiger, humbled. You got guys who's been playing this sport so long, and they just can't play on this course. Because, I mean, like you say, it's like the putting surfaces right now, the pin placement, is like glass, you know. And then you got the bowl effect going on, and it's not a bowl. It's really with the crown. It's like turning a bowl upside down,
right.
You know, turning the bowl over and trying to play on a green. And the green is a dome, like you were saying. It's crazy, man. Yeah. I'm sitting there watching these guys who can get it close just, like, miss by, like,
right.
30
yeah,
yards.
I agree with you.
Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you, Lee. Happy Father's Day to you. Yeah. I agree with you in that I think this first round yesterday, we should have allowed every player to showcase the strength of their golf games. They had no chance to showcase anything yesterday. You had to have your fingers crossed and a horseshoe up you know where to have even a chance on this golf tournament.
You think Charlie feels strong about this?
Now, here's what they're going to be confronted with now.
Well, you only have two players under par right now,
right.
Before you continue. Dustin Johnson, 4 under. Ian Poulter at 1 under, and he tees off at 12:36, so 4 minutes away. And then it's Scott Piercy even, and everyone else from that point on is over par.
Yeah, over par. It's just
so,
very
I mean, again, third place.
I mean, we're
going to
get 60 players,
back.
Okay, in the top. Okay,
right.
We're going to get that.
Right.
But when it comes down, now here's what they're going to be challenged with. I would have saved some of these tough pin placements maybe for Sunday. to where you have to earn it.
Right.
Okay, and then you have to take some chances. It would have made an interesting finish. What they're going to be confronted with now is we come into the Sunday round and someone has an 8 or 10 shot lead.
Right.
The more difficult you make it, the less chance anyone's catching that leader. And we want to see fireworks on the final round of a major. We want to see people coming from off the pace.
Right.
Like at the Belmont, we're hoping for. And you kind of lose some of that. Now, they're going to have to soften it up. And supposedly good weather, not a lot of high winds. What they're going to do is on Saturday, tomorrow, they're going to probably give you about 12 or 14 birdie holes instead of six like we had yesterday to bring a lot of people back to the top of that leaderboard and let it look competitive
like
for Sunday.
Because right
otherwise,
now, you're not, there's nothing
right
to
now,
watch. Yes.
Dustin Johnson, he won last week.
Well,
he looks as comfortable as he's ever looked in his golf swing. He's number one in the world for a reason. And here he is atop the leaderboard. He is hitting it so long. But people
which is
forget
crazy.
Dustin Johnson
right.
not only hits it long, hits it very straight.
It's crazy, though, because, you know, he's number one, but no one's the storyline. The number one player in the world is leading the tournament. No one cares.
Yep.
It's just crazy. Again, we talk about what moves the needle or not. And if Charlie's unhappy, imagine, Jay, how does Fox feel? They get one major
exactly.
all year, and this is the major they have, the promos they had, and now half the people that were on their promos are not going to be around.
But
the
there'll
weekend.
Be some storylines develop as we go through this,
yeah,
Gus.
Producers
over the
are
next,
working overtime
I
right
I mean,
now.
The next, exactly,
exactly.
Get some tape ready.
Yeah.
But I could see some players. Who knows? I mean, you know, Dustin Johnson may come back to the field a little, and storylines do develop, and there'll be something come out of this Sunday that's going to catch our interest, hopefully, for a good finish. But, I'd love to see Dustin Johnson win this golf tournament. He's earned it. He's been number one in the world for a while now,
right.
And he's playing well.
So. And there he is, Charlie Ricks, host of NOLA Golf Academy, no doubt. Monday.
But no Tiger, by the way.
Yeah, no, he's done because he's already finished this
and
morning.
Phil Mickelson, maybe not. But let's hope Phil has a good round today and gets himself in contention.
Well, no doubt Monday you'll recap this live from Golf Tech.
Yes, I will.
Yeah.
Do it with
you.
You have a whole happy, weekend to calm down.
Happy Father's Day.
Exactly. Thank you so much, man.
Right,
go enjoy some
right,
time with your
later.
Daughter. Right. Appreciate it. When we come back, we'll bring in Brian and Elise. We'll talk a little bit more about this. An interesting story just popped up on Yahoo. That has to do with an NBA player, Jay, that maybe might have ripple effects that could affect the Pels in one way. I don't think directly, but maybe indirectly. We'll touch on that when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover. We are live at Deuce McAllister's Old St. Kitchen and Tap, 132 Royal Street. As always, we're here, and you're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Coming in out of the rain. Iran defeated Morocco earlier this morning 1-0. Uruguay over Egypt 1-0. And at 1 p.m., Jay Hargrave already has it on Fox. They will televise Portugal and España coming up at 1 p.m. I'm excited about it. Again, I'm not going to pay attention to you two.
No, I didn't think you would. Brian and I will do the show. You
that's
can watch
fine.
Soccer.
I will watch me some soccer because that's kind of what I'm looking forward to.
Did you know Spain fired their coach?
You know what? Here it is. I mean, do you know yesterday in the show, like, surprisingly, like, the look of shock on his face? He goes, did you hear the big news? I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? Spain fired their coach 2 days before the World Cup. I'm like, dude, a day before that, I talked about it. Like, it was the first thing I said when I opened the show.
You did?
Yeah.
All I know
on
is,
Wednesday.
All I know is the king and queen of Spain are here today. That's all I got.
That's why. That's why.
That's why traffic's so bad.
That's why. It took me 50 minutes to get from the interstate, the Carondelet exit, through the quarter. I couldn't pass Poydras. Jordan, the intern's like, just get to Iberville. I'm like, you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you.
Hard,
I can't get across Poydras. I was wondering where all the motorcycle cops were.
That's why it takes three of us to
the Royals are here. You're absolutely right. The Royals are here. Wow. Little royalty going on. There you go. What do you want?
I was just putting down my headset.
Yeah, Gus. Yeah, no one puts your headset down unless you're talking, and no one's talking.
I'm talking
to you
right now.
There you go. Put your headset back up. Brian Early East joins us here to talk a little bit. We're going to recap a lot, Jay, some of the observations. We'll get your takes on kind of what we saw. But the question of the day that we threw out there about Father's Day, you know, what kind of sporting event or is there something that you can recall that you tie in with Father's Day weekend here that you remember? Obviously, a lot of what I've done and grown up playing sports, I have a relationship with Dad taking me to games, things like that. Anything pops up to your head?
Not necessarily from me and my dad perspective. My dad passed before I was able to actually be here, so it doesn't work that way. But for myself, you know, with my kids, I definitely think taking them to a Pels game was probably one of the best feelings that I've had. I've taken them to Saints games, taken them to Pels games, and just the excitement on their faces, seeing the people in the stands kind of react with my kids of the high five and kind of trying to teach them the way that we do it. That was pretty impressive, man. I always, you know, have a little bit of a good feeling towards that.
That's awesome.
You know, I had two cousins who lost their fathers at a young age, and I think it means more to the dad to be able to do that for his kids, knowing that, you know, the dad passed away early in their life. And I just think that's just it just means so much more to you, Brian, to be able to experience that with your kids because it was – for one reason or another, was taken from you at a young age.
It's not often talked about. Brian and I talk a lot about this off the air, just in our friendship with a lot of what happens in society. And one thing we always agree on is the role of a father figure.
Yes.
So important to kids, man. I mean, it legitimately, honestly is. In my brief times of being an amateur coach, when I say amateur, I'm like playground coach, stuff like that. You can just see it. I mean, you honestly can just see it, you know. And, I mean, from just sports related things, from a kid's never thrown the ball when he comes to me at 9 or 10 years old. It's like never, no one's ever thrown it with him, to, you know, behavioral issues, just stuff like that. And the ones that do, I mean, it's just, there's something that's totally, that's proven. I mean, I scientifically, non-scientifically, yes, you can see it, sense it, and feel it, man. So, you know, like I said, we'd love to hear more stories on that as we continue along the show here. 800-998-1003 or at ESPN Radio. I've gotten a couple of calls already on that and some tweets. We'd love to hear a story. Like for me, like I said, it's Dad taking me to Tiger Stadium. I want to take Carver and go with Dad to a game at Wrigley within the next year or two. So again, I just, anything like that stand out to you, whether it's the Saints winning the Super Bowl, do you recall that? Did you go to Miami with your dad? You know, something like that. I'd love to hear stories like that from you. Brian, we're going to get into, obviously, the Saints mini camps over. They're done. 5 total practices we got to observe. But during the break, Jay, he showed me a story that just popped up from Yahoo Sports that's very interesting. We all know that LeBron's going to be a big decision issue as to where things kind of go from that standpoint if he switches teams, right?
Correct.
If he stays in Cleveland, I don't know if it'll be that much, you know, ripple effect. But I think he definitely is one of those. Obviously, for the Pelicans, it's DeMarcus Cousins. Does he sign? Doesn't re-sign? That's where that ripple effect is with the NBA draft next week. But, Brian, Yahoo Sports has an interesting story that kind of contradicts what we've been hearing a lot earlier in the week.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that I forget how to pronounce the last name, but it's Shams, I believe, Sharina.
Yep.
So he actually posted that Kawhi Leonard has pretty much told the Spurs he wants out and he wants to be traded to the Lakers. That's his top destination. And we had Kurt Heelan on yesterday.
Wow.
And I kind of brought that up that, you know, maybe Kawhi is actually the first domino to fall before LeBron, you know, makes a move. And now, well, this is a very big story here.
For weeks during the season, Screamin' A, and I remember playing Bites, there are a lot of people, First Take, Michael Wilbon, a lot of people on the show, The Jump, which is the basketball show with Rachel Nichols, they had hinted. Remember I told you, it's very awkward and very weird that all of a sudden there was one week during the basketball season where every day the story was LeBron's tied to Kawhi Leonard. So
yes,
I'm not surprised that you hear now in the Yahoo story as Rafael Esparza walks in. I can't wait to hear the odds here with the latest news, Rafael, that Yahoo Sports is saying Kawhi wants out and he wants to go to L.A. Because that, to me, again, you go back with the story of, you know, about 2 months ago that LeBron is tied to where Kawhi and they're trying to get together. Now maybe that makes sense with the whole Lakers situation there, right?
We had a customer, ironically, in the restaurant earlier this week. He was having breakfast. He had a San Antonio Spurs shirt on. So I walked up to him and I said, so give me the perspective of the fans in San Antonio. What's going on with Kawhi Leonard? He was 100% sure that this is all overblown, that Popovich is letting this go because he basically wants to make a fool out of everyone in the media. that this is not a big deal.
Really?
They fully expect Kawhi Leonard to be back with the Spurs. Hmm. And that, and you think about it. Could you see Greg Popovich basically almost letting this play out, orchestrating this in the background to make the media fall all over themselves about, oh, Kawhi's going to LA or Kawhi's going to get traded here, Kawhi and LeBron?
Your boy from Yahoo?
Yeah.
He tweeted it.
Shams Serena.
Yes. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting it just now for ESPN. San Antonio's Kawhi Leonard has Los Angeles, preferably the Lakers, at the center of his preferences for a trade destination. So it's out there now. I mean, for them to start doing it, I hear what you're saying, Jay.
Look, he played at San Diego State, so I understand.
Now here's what I'm getting
at. The tie to L.A.
Now, Pop and they may be like, wait a minute, it's just news to me. But the point is that if that's the case, they've now jump-started the situation. And remember, again, we had on Kurt yesterday who said, expect some trades next week in the NBA draft. And Jay, it's not because of the players. I'll throw this out there. We'll do it Monday. I'll even give you the weekend to think about it. Give me the top three players in the NBA draft. Name them. Go.
Nobody, nobody, and nobody.
Name me one of the top five players in the draft.
The kid from Arizona.
Exactly.
DeAndre.
Right.
Yeah.
The guy that maybe took money.
I give up.
No, but that's my point.
Yeah.
That's
point. Why I said nobody.
The NBA draft is not what it was years ago.
No, it's not.
Where you can build through it. And I've heard this a lot, and we've had Kurt on yesterday, and he said the same thing. What's going to happen in the NBA draft is trades on NBA trade night.
Yeah.
I mean, draft night. It's going to be trading left and right with pieces. That's what's going to happen. Guys, this is what it screams to me. We're 6 days away, right? It's next Thursday. So what this is Kawhi's people jump-starting the process, and now the Spurs are going to have a full week to look at all the different proposals, all the different teams are going to go in there. And now if I'm Cleveland, I'm picking up the phone because clearly there's something going on. So if I'm the Cavs, I need to be prepared because this definitely sounds like your king and Kawhi have a little something going.
If I'm Cleveland, especially what Dan Gilbert said last week, which is we think we can build a championship without LeBron. If I'm Cleveland, the only phone call I make right now is to New Orleans to see what can I do to get Boogie Cousins from you in a sign and trade because we don't think he's going to sign here ordinarily. And we need another star that we can sell to our fans because we're about to be in full rebuild mode.
But here's my thing. If this is happening right now, and again, I'm just going by, it's just, in my experience, when you see a number of media people out of the blue start saying LeBron's decision will be tied to where Kawhi plays, somebody is telling them that.
That's my point.
And they're making that on purpose. So if that's the case and if that's where it's going to go, then maybe that decision's already
LeBron's
been
gone.
Made. Yeah,
LeBron
exactly.
is in LeBron, L.A., and it would not surprise me to see Paul George as well.
So this is probably going to be a 2-3 team, maybe even 4-team trade because what do the Lakers have that Popovich and the Spurs want?
The young guys. They have, you know, the Parkers and they have the Kuzmas and
Kuzma
guys like that. Maybe even Alonzo Ball. I mean,
Ingram?
Maybe even an Ingram. The Spurs will have their selection of guys if they want.
Is everyone on the table for the Lakers?
I think everyone is.
I don't think there's a single Laker that's untouchable.
I think everyone is because the Lakers are going to be able to sign two max guys. So basically all you need is to trade for one guy. You trade for Kawhi Leonard. You can sign Paul George and LeBron James because they have enough cap space to do so and you don't have to gut your team to do it.
Here's the thing that everybody's going to run with. The Lonzo Ball dissing on Kyle Kuzma, everybody's going to run with that and say, oh, look, the Lakers are going to have to trade these guys and they bring in Kawhi Leonard. Here's the thing. The Spurs don't have to make a move right now. They're holding the cards because he's still got to play one more year in San Antonio. So it's not as clean as everybody thinks. LeBron signs in L.A. and Kawhi gets traded. San Antonio's not going to hand Kawhi Leonard to the Lakers.
They're not handing him to anybody. They're going to get their choice of whatever they want.
They're going to make LeBron sign at the Lakers and then say, okay, now we can trade him to whoever we want. San Antonio can sit back and wait LeBron James out, and then they don't have to trade him to LeBron's team.
Again, though, free agency and all of that doesn't start until July 1st. Draft night's Thursday. I think if something happens, it'll probably be then. I don't know. Take a quick break. We come back. Jordan, the intern, brought up a good point. Brought up a good point.
You sound surprised.
I am surprised by the week he's had. Jordan, present it, and we'll talk about it when we come back. What did you say?
So if LeBron goes to the West, what's going to happen to the East? It's probably going to be the weakest it's ever been.
The Celtics what are celebrating is what they're doing right now. And Kawhi Leonard is looking at an NBA final. I mean, Kyrie Irving.
It means that the four of us and the taxi cab driver that brings us to the arena could probably qualify for the playoffs in the East.
Well, you know what? And we can start petitioning to move the Pels to the East, back to where they were when they first got here.
I've been trying to do
that
for 2 years.
Sports Hangover continues. We're live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, 132 Royal Street. We'll discuss not only this when we come back, but also some Saints in Hour 2. Raphael, some more odds. Money in the Bank is Sunday for you wrestling fans. That's another sport probably dad and sons have tied into. Me and my dad used to wrestle all the time back in the day watching wrestling. He was always known as the champ. And guess what my name was?
The Turd?
Booger.
Oh, close enough.
Yeah, there you go.
The
Sports
Turd and
continues
Booger.
Next on ESPN
Did
New Orleans.
Did dad give you a chair shot?
Yeah. Zach Harper at Talk Hoops covers the NBA. Jay Hargrave, Gus Kattengill, and Brian Ola East. Here's the thing that's funny, right? Ready? He's already done it. 5 minutes ago, he tweets, I did it. NBA trade machine. You can go to ESPN.com. You can click on the NBA, and there's a trade machine there. And you can work on things how it goes. Because, Brian, you have to match salaries in the NBA. You can't just trade a player for player. You have to match salaries. All right, so he did it. Golden State acquires Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard. The Spurs get, it's a three-team trade, Iguodala, Etuan Moore, Livingston, Shaq Diallo, Mecca Okafor, Liggins, and the Pels get LaMarcus Aldridge and Klay Thompson. Let me just start by saying no thank you. Can I just start my no thank you?
That was polite of you, because I had a couple other words I was going to use.
So I think we have like seven guys on the roster, because we gave up like six, I think.
It's just amazing to me that people would remotely think that he's available.
You know why? Because we have a general manager who refuses to get in front of a camera and say Anthony Davis is untradeable.
It's funny you say that, because Danny Ainge has sort of been like that, and you just come out there and just flat out go, look, guys, it's great. Love y'all. But, yeah, no.
It'd be nice to see it happen. Like, I don't care who says it.
Almost joke. Exactly. Just tweet. Or text Kushner, text me. Dell, I'll do it. Just tell me, hey, have fun with it. And be like, guys, I would love to contemplate all this. Here's the thing. I'm outside, you know, trying to save to get the 230, you know, the $230 million extension that he's going to sign in a couple of years here.
I would listen to offers, but I'd tell everybody, you know, we're starting the starting asking price is your starting five and your next 10 number one draft
picks. Well, let me ask it this way.
That's where we start.
Let me ask it
at.
This way. What would you trade Anthony Davis for?
Nothing.
If Anthony Davis was going to walk and you're in the situation that Cleveland's in with LeBron, if I could walk away with LaMarcus Aldridge and Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, that's something I would consider if he was going to walk. He's not going to walk.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, the hypothetical question is.
I take my chances.
Like, if a genie comes in and goes, all right, look, I can get you whatever you want. You can get whatever you want in the NBA. He's the LeBron.
Okay.
Let's call AD LeBron here.
Kawhi and
to where anybody will get you what you want.
Kawhi and Kyrie.
You want Kawhi and Kyrie, you would take for AD. Okay. What would you take?
Nothing. Give me Anthony Davis.
I'm on the lines with Jordan. It would take at least two superstars for me to even think about giving him a first round.
Let me ask you this.
That's my point. Right. It would take two superstars to equal one Anthony Davis. Give me Anthony Davis.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree with you. Right. I agree with you, Brian, 100%.
Because here's the one thing that I saw when DeMarcus Cousins got injured and he upped his game. He still got to get to that next level in the postseason to where Golden State kind of took him out of that series. You know, so he's got to be a little more dominant in that area. But here's the one thing, Jordan, why I would say I'd pass on that. Anthony Davis can shoot from the outside. I mean, he can shoot the three. I mean, he's not a three-point shooter, but he can. He can shoot long-range jumpers. He can play in the post. He can play in the paint. He can run. He can play defense. He's showing his leadership. I mean, my point is he can do everything. He's everything. He can do everything. LaMarcus Aldridge can't do what AD can do. And I don't think, you know, look, like I said, Kyrie is a great player. I think he's fine, but
injury
there's
prone.
Limitations there. Exactly right. And you add the injury prone situation. Now, again, people can say AD gets hurt. AD gets hurt hustling. AD gets hurt trying to go make plays.
Kyrie gets hurt getting out of bed.
Here's the thing, and I think a lot of, I'm hoping the Pelicans are starting to see this. A lot of teams are starting to see it. You've got to have a team that's got length that allows you to switch everything. If you can switch everything, Kyrie Irving will not allow you to switch everything because Kyrie can then get matched up with LeBron, wow, and it's a huge mismatch.
All right, so Chris Mannix, again, this is, you have to know how to read this and look at it. So when the top two basketball people tweet that he's looking to leave, now you know what's coming, right? It's Ali Oxenfree. Everyone's going to start reporting.
Everybody's on board now.
Chris Mannix, also, he's a senior writer for Yahoo Sports.
He's a dope.
Well, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, he's a dope.
Okay, well, he says another team to watch in the Kawhi sweepstakes, Sacramento.
Exactly, he's a dope.
Kings have talked to teams about the number two pick per sources and desperately want to establish, to have an established star.
He's a dope.
Okay, I'm just, here's the thing. If Kawhi goes to the Lakers, LeBron will go.
Yeah.
Because, again, I'm just going by those reports that those two were tied. Now, playoff P, good old Paul George, he's been rumored long ago to try to get back to L.A. But Jordan, the intern, brought up Carmelo Anthony can opt out because he has a two-year deal,
right?
He can't opt out?
Well, let me not say he can't opt out. It would be stupid of him to opt out.
Okay, but no, hear me out, though. Yeah. I'm just going
this
by what George just said.
This is their game plan from the very beginning of their careers.
You're right, the banana boat crew.
Yeah.
Chris Paul can opt out.
Correct.
So the Lakers could then have
this is the last
Kawhi, LeBron, Melo, and Chris Paul.
Yes, they could. Here's the
technically,
problem.
Technically, now.
Carmelo's a dope if he doesn't.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. Here's the other thing. LeBron has said, flat out, he's not taking any discounts.
Correct. So it's Chris Paul.
Chris Paul said he wants $200 million extension.
Correct.
Carmelo, well, I don't even
he's
know why.
He's owed $28
million. Okay. So, which is why you're saying
he's not opting out.
To opting out.
But can you make that work? They all play similar positions.
I think if that, and not to mention that, Carmelo is not a bench guy. He doesn't want to come off the bench.
No, he's not coming off the bench.
Look, I'm not disagreeing with y'all. I'm just saying this is something they've always wanted to do.
Yes.
To go out there in the limelight in L.A. and go play it. The point is they could make it happen.
I think if they all talk to each other, I think they would make it happen. I think they take the pay cut to play with each other and have a chance to it. Try to get a ring.
I think Carmelo and Dwayne Wade would be the guys that would take the pay cut. Here's what you can't expect. You can't expect Paul George to take a pay cut. You can't expect Chris Paul or LeBron to take a pay cut. So there's not enough money to go around. Somebody is going to have to get theirs.
You brought up, Brian, we can talk about this an hour or two here. Paul George is seeing this right now. He's probably going, whoa.
What happened to me?
Right.
Yeah.
What happened to me? You think the Pels should jump on that?
I think the Pels have to because I think the Lakers only have enough space for two max guys, and we're talking about possibly three people: Chris Paul, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James. So
LeBron
Paul George
and Kawhi
is the odd man
go to
out.
LA. Chris Paul's gone.
Exactly,
he's leaving Houston.
Exactly, but one of those guys is going to have to be traded for, and Paul George is the odd man out. If I'm the Pelicans, I'm paying attention to that situation to see who's the odd guy out.
The only way LeBron goes to the West is they restructure the playoffs, and it's top 16. He will not go to the West.
With that team, they
he's still not
going
to go.
No, well, we'll see. Sports Takeover continues next. Hour one was brought to you by the King Firm. As always, don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. Hour two next on ESPN New Orleans.